Sabbath month, and we were just seeking the Lord as a church, God was just really stirring up my faith and my gratitude to the Lord for this gift of being able to pray in tongues. So I want to talk about it again today. You know, the first time I was actually exposed to the gift of praying in other tongues, I grew up in a family that was typically part of a different denomination that mostly didn't talk about praying in the spiritual gift of praying in tongues, or even a lot of other spiritual gifts for that matter. But if I ever heard them talk about tongues, it was usually negative. And so I remember one time we were riding in the car, my family, and I think we had moved to a new place, and we were talking about churches to visit and maybe to find a church or something like that. And we were riding along in the car, and we were talking about different churches. And one of the churches that got brought up was a spirit-filled Pentecostal charismatic type church. And I just remember, you know, one of my parents being like, "Oh no, we wouldn't go to that church. They do weird things in those churches." And I was like, huh? And this is the first time I ever remember hearing about the gift of tongues, ever. I never even heard about it before this. And it's like, huh? And they went on talking. They're like, yeah, like sometimes, like someone will just stand up in the middle of a service and they'll just start yelling out in these other tongues and other languages. And I'm like, weird. You know, it was just this like weird thought, you know? And I was like, wow, like why do they do that? And it was just kind of weird. And then I remember when I moved to Alabama, this is probably about 6 to 7 months before I got saved. We visited a church that was an Assembly of God church. So it was a Pentecostal church that prayed in tongues. I was not saved at this point. And I remember sitting in the service, and I heard somebody start speaking in tongues. And apparently, from what I'm told, I don't totally remember this clearly, but from what I'm told, I turned around and to somebody in my family, I'm like, what the blank is that? You know, like I did not. It was just like, what in the world? And that was my exposure to it. But what happened is my baseball coach, who was a Christian, attended that church. And I remember one time somebody talking to him, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's a really cool church, because I liked a lot of things about the church. Ended up being the church I got saved in later on. But they're like, you know, there's a lot of good things. I like this about the church. I love the worship. I love the energy. There's this presence of God there, but they pray in tongues, and I don't like that. And I remember my coach just being like, he's like, yeah, well, that's actually one of the things we really like about the church. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So he was just unapologetic. He wasn't in your face about it, but he was like, no, I'm not ashamed of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's really important. And so I was just paying attention to my coach throughout that season, and he would preach the gospel to us, and God started working on my heart over the course of that, you know, 3-4 month baseball season, softened my heart. Finally, I got to the point where I was like, ah, you know, whatever. I didn't really think tongues was that weird anymore. I just didn't think about it, because I thought, you know, my coach, I got to know him. I'm like, he's a pretty cool guy, actually. I actually really looked up to and respect my coach. And so, and I know he does that, so, you know, whatever. And then I got saved on June 9th, 1993. And right after I got saved, these guys were like, hey, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I was like, sure. I didn't know that in their minds they were thinking, do you want to pray in tongues? I was just thinking, oh, yeah, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I learned about that somewhere in the Bible, and now I'm living for Jesus. So they all started praying for me. And I'm sitting up there, and there's all these people surrounding me, and they're all laying hands on me, which was a new experience. I wasn't used to that. I'd responded to altar calls before in other churches and things I'd been in, but it was always like, you know, they counsel you and then hand you a card, and you fill out your name and address, a decision card, you know, kind of thing, and for them to follow up with you or something like that, which is good. I like that stuff. But it was a new thought, a new thing, people laying hands on me. And I'm sitting there, they're laying hands on me. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not really that weirded out. And they start praying for me, and I'm just sitting there. Yeah, God, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying for a few minutes there. They're all praying for me. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off in my mind, and I make the connection to what they're expecting. I'm like, oh no, I got trapped. I was deceived. You know, I was like, I just thought you wanted me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know you wanted me to speak in tongues. And I didn't say that to him. This is what's going on in my mind. But now I'm stuck. I'm in it now. I mean, they're all surrounding me. I'm like, I don't think they're going to let me go until I do this. I mean, and I'm praying. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know how to do that. I can't do it. And it actually, at that point, it wasn't a problem like I don't believe in this anymore. Because I'd actually come to the point where I really had tons of honor and respect for my baseball coach. And I knew he did this. So I'm like, you know, you can be a normal person and do this and still be cool. And so, but I just didn't know. I was like, I don't know how to do that. You know, I was like, what am I going to do? And I was freaking out in my mind, calm on the outside. And then these guys kept praying for me and praying for me and praying for me. And then finally, after a little while, I started just to relax. And because I started, you know, trying all the stuff. I started praying in English. And God, yeah, fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with the Spirit. As if, you know, he needed me to say it just one more time to make sure that he was going to do it, you know. But I didn't know. I was like 10 minutes old in Jesus. So I'm, you know. And they're praying for me. And then all of a sudden, I began to, for the first time in my whole life, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I had never in my life felt his presence before. I had been in churches lots. I had gone to Awana. I had memorized Bible verses. I was a spark for Jesus. I had my red vest with my patches for memorizing Bible verses when I was a kid. I knew a lot about Jesus, a lot about the Bible. My dad had graduated from seminary, so I was very familiar with the gospel. But I hadn't lived for God, but I knew about it. But for the first time in my life, I actually felt his presence. And his presence was this, it was like power and love, joy, peace. It was like all the good stuff all wrapped up in one. And I just felt him really subtly at first, deep down. And then I began to just pay attention and focus on that presence that I was feeling. And it got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I just began really quietly at first, because to be honest, I didn't know if it was me doing it or if it was the Holy Spirit praying through me. I just started speaking out these syllables. And as I really quietly, just in case I was wrong, because all these people are right here praying for me. And I start speaking out the syllables, and the preacher looks at me, he is like, and he goes, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. He's like, that's it, keep going. And I was like, oh, good. I didn't know, actually, if this, but I was feeling God, but, you know, I've never done this before. I didn't know if this was it or not, or if it was just me. So then I kept doing it, and the more I did it in faith, because it really bolstered my faith. I'm like, oh, okay, this is God then, when he said that. And I kept praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And the more I prayed in tongues, the stronger I felt his presence. It just got stronger and stronger. And he melted my heart like putty in his hands. I fell head over heels in love with Jesus. One of my very first thoughts as I felt his presence like that, I was just, you're so real. You're so real. That's one of the very first things I said. You're so real. You're so real. And it's like, you know, I knew it kind of before, but I didn't really know it deep down in my heart. Now I knew it. I'm like, you're so real. You're so real. And I just kept praying in tongues, and I felt his love stronger and stronger. And I was like, and then I'd sing in English. I want to be closer to you. I love you. I just began, I fell in love with the Lord. It was just the most natural thing to worship. After I got filled with the Spirit and I was praying in tongues, it was the most natural thing to just start singing love songs of desire to be closer to Jesus. It was automatic, because when the Spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you begin praying in other tongues, the Bible says that it builds up, it edifies your spirit. And I began feeling, God loves me. He's so real. I love God. I want to serve him. I want to please him. God's so real. He loves me. I love God. I want to please him. I mean, these are the things that are burning in my heart, that still burn in my heart to this day, came into my heart in a moment. I'm so thankful for the gift of praying in tongues. And for me, praying in tongues at that moment, it was actually a miraculous sign to me that I'm like, wow, something real just happened in me. I'm like, I know God is real. I know Jesus is real. And I know I'm really his now. I'm really living for him now. Now, I meant it before. I was sincere about 10 minutes before that when I said, Jesus, I want to live for you. I believe I was saved then. But when I had that encounter with the Lord, and praying in tongues is something I never, ever thought of before that I would actually do someday. I'm like, wow, something's new. I'm a totally different person. I'm doing stuff I never even thought I would do before. I'm actually like singing to God and telling him I love him. I'm like, this is so weird, but cool. I like this. This is the new me. I like the new me. I felt joy, and I was so happy about it. I went home and told my mom, I'm like, guess what I did? She's like, what? I was like, I prayed in tongues tonight. And she was like, really? She's like, what was that like? And the thing I'm so thankful for about my mom, she didn't understand it. She didn't even know for sure, you know, what to think about it. But she had the discernment to recognize that something was happening in me that God was doing. And so she didn't persecute it. She just like, what? That's good. That's good. It's not like she was like, keep doing that more and more. But she didn't stop me from doing it or discourage me from it at all. I'm so thankful for that. And so I was a new creation. And I'd make it my goal after that. I'd pray in tongues regularly. I remember after that, I'd be driving in my car. And you know, like the euphoria of that high with the Lord kind of settles, you know, after that night. And I remember driving in my car in the days afterward and having this thought, I'm like, I wonder if I could do that again. Like, I wonder if it would work again. If I put that little formula, this little formula was forming in my little newborn mind in the Lord. I'm like, I wonder if I started singing that song to Jesus again and I started just praying in tongues again, I wonder if I could do it again. And then I wonder if I'd feel him like that again. So I'd be driving in my car, and I'd just start practicing. I'm like, oh, it's cool. It still works. You know, I'm like, I can still do this. I mean, it was all new. It was just the wonder and the joy of this new gift from the Lord that I got to learn about and experiment with in this sense of wonder and awe before the Lord. And it worked. I was driving to my car, and I felt his presence the same way. I'm like, this is so cool. I love this. I've been praying in tongues for 25 years. I'm so thankful for this gift. Jesus said that his followers would speak in new tongues. In Mark chapter 16, he said to them, to his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. And then he lists several different signs. First, he says, in my name, they will drive out demons. But then he says, they will speak in what? They will new tongues. So Jesus actually prophesied over the believers who would follow him. He says, these are some of the signs that, it's not an exhaustive list, but he says, these are some of the signs that will follow those who believe. And one of them, they will speak in new tongues. And of course, we see that in the rest of the book of Acts, as the Bible continues, they did do that. I do not believe, I just want to make this statement right off the bat, I do not believe that the Bible teaches that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. I know for sure there are many, I mean, many, many, many wonderful saints who have never spoken in tongues that function very powerfully in other spiritual gifts, actually. Probably a lot of them function powerfully in spiritual gifts that I've not functioned very much in that gift. They're probably stronger and farther down the road. I need to learn from them in other gifts. They love Jesus. They're fruitful, doing awesome things with the Lord, for the Lord. They walk with God closely. But I do believe this. The Bible, I don't think, teaches you have to speak in tongues to be saved. However, I do believe the Bible teaches that those who are saved can pray in tongues if they choose to. It's because Jesus says, you know, these signs will follow those who believe, and one of them was they will pray in other tongues. So speaking in tongues in the Bible, as you read the book of Acts, I just want to say this. It was not limited to a few isolated groups of believers in the New Testament. Read the book of Acts. I challenge you to do a fast read through the book of Acts and pay attention. And here's a pattern you'll notice. Wherever the gospel is spread to, the gift of tongues seems to have followed. Whenever it goes from Jerusalem into a new city or a new region, as soon as the gospel comes there, shortly around the same time or shortly thereafter, you see the believers there start speaking in other tongues and praying in other tongues. And, you know, it goes from Jerusalem to Samaria, you know, and then on and on and on to new cities. And you see that this was not just like it seems to be today in our minds, although we have a limited perspective on the body of Christ in America. The body of Christ is so much bigger than the church in the United States. Actually, there's way more believers in the rest of the world, I would believe, altogether, the whole body of Christ, than there is just in North America and the United States. But sometimes we think there's like, oh yeah, even in our town. Like there's a lot of believers and a lot of churches, and there's a few isolated, just a few of them, that they practice speaking in tongues. They're one of those churches. But actually in the Bible, it wasn't that way. It was just normal. Wherever the gospel went, the gift of the Spirit, including tongues, followed. Amen? Okay. And I was tempted to actually go through the book of Acts and do that, but I knew that would make my sermon way too long. So I'm just going to say, read the book of Acts and find out for yourself. But here's the deal that I want to share. I suspect that even those of us who do pray in tongues have underutilized this gift. I really believe that. That's why I want to talk about it again today. That's what I've been stirred up about in the last month or so. I feel like we underutilize this gift. And I think one of the reasons that we underutilize it is because there's a mystery to how it works. You know, like you pray in English, you can pray for something specific, and you see God's power released and do the thing you ask for, and you're like, okay, I can see the value of that. You know what I mean? So, like, I want to do that more and more. I can see how that works. But tongues, a lot of times, you can't instantly see how it's working, yet it's working. And let me try and illustrate it to you, a picture kind of God gave me during worship of this. So imagine that you're on a journey and you're walking on a path toward the destination God has for you through the woods, and it's this long path and you don't know the way, but you're just following the path. And God comes up to you and he gives you a gun, okay? And he says, here, this is going to help you. When enemies attack you, when you see one of those things, use this. And then an enemy pops up on the path and you're like, boom, like, ah, I like this weapon. Like, this is a very handy tool. It works. I can take it out and I use it and I see the results right away. That's what it's like to pray in English or in our native language. That's what it's like when we worship in English and we see the value of it. We can understand how that works. But then what if God came up and he gets, same time, you're on the path and he gives you another weapon and he says, use this. This is going to be super helpful for you, okay? And then you're like, okay, it's this big gun. You're like, pull the trigger, and it looks like nothing happens. It's like, huh, I didn't see a bullet fly out. I didn't see an enemy drop to the side of the ground when I pulled that trigger. It seemed like nothing happened. But then you just like, well, he said to use it, so I'm going to use it by faith. You just start pulling the trigger, and all of a sudden you come up over a hill, and you get to the other side of the hill, and you see like this whole enemy army that's lying there dead, slaughtered. And you're like, huh, wonder how that happened. That's handy. Like somebody took care of it for me. I wonder what happened. That was pretty cool. Then you kind of come up and you're like, man, you know, like I wonder what I should do. And then all of a sudden you keep pulling the trigger and you're like, well, I kind of got this thought. I should turn right here. And I hope this is the right direction. I don't know. Let's see. And good. I'm glad I guessed right. And you just keep pulling it. But what happens? It's like, sometimes you don't make the connection that God's like, when you're praying in tongues, you're praying real words, real prayers that actually release the power of God to do warfare on your behalf, to give you guidance, to give you revelation of God, to give you insight, to help you along your journey in many ways. But sometimes we don't make the connection. And if we do this, if we don't walk by faith in what the scripture says and we just walk by only what we can see, we may be tempted to say, why do I keep pulling this trigger? I never really notice anything happen when I pull it. And you just throw it away and say, I'm just going to use this one because I can see this. And it's good. You'll be blessed for using the other one. You should use the other one. But you should use the one God gave you as well that you can't always see it. Are you guys with me? Because all of a sudden, then you pop over the hill and you're like, oh my goodness, look at the hundreds of enemies in this army. And you got your single shot. You're trying to pick them all off. And it's like, huh, I'm going to go back to using the other one. Does that make sense? Not a perfect illustration. I just came up with it during worship. But I think that's sometimes why we underutilize this gift, is because there is a mystery to how it works. But I'm telling you, it is a power gift, just like the other gifts of the Spirit, that we need to make the most of it. Listen to the testimony of the apostles about this gift. I just want to go through a number of scriptures quickly about praying in tongues. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God." Okay? When you speak in tongues, it's not just gibberish. You're speaking real languages, real words that have actual meaning, and you're speaking, you're not just speaking into the air, you're speaking directly to God. Do you see that? And this is one of the things sometimes, you know, I pray in tongues and I'm like, huh, I wonder what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm saying. I wonder why I say that same syllable over and 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 over. But I don't try to figure it out with my natural mind. Because I'm just like, I do that in English. I do that in English sometimes. Sometimes I get a word in my spirit, an English word that I understand. And every time I say it, I feel life on it. I'll just be like, mercy, 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 mercy. And I'll say it over and over and for minutes, many times. I'll just do it over as long as I feel the presence on it. And I just know like something's happening in the spirit when I say this word. I know what it means. But why not when I pray in tongues, I'm saying a real word. I don't know what it is with my natural mind. But I'm like, why would I say, well, that doesn't sound like a sentence. That just sounds the same two syllables over and over again. But I do that in English too. Are you guys with me? You speak, when you pray in tongues, you speaking an actual language, real words, and you're talking to God, not into the air. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, Paul says, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." How many of you could use some personal strengthening? Yeah, like every day of my life, every moment. I'm like, God, yesterday's strength was awesome. Thank you. But now I'm in today, I need fresh strength. I need fresh grace for today. And God says when you pray in tongues, you actually get personally strengthened by the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. But sometimes I feel it immediately. Sometimes I'll just start praying in tongues and immediately I feel, whoa, I feel the lift. You know, I got my wings out and I feel the wind pick me up and let me soar. And I'm like, woo, that's good. This is good. We have liftoff, baby. Here we go. And I love it. But you know, there's other times I pray in tongues and I feel nothing. I don't feel an immediate lift. But you know what? I do it anyway by faith because the word says that when I pray in tongues, I'll be personally strengthened. So whether I feel it immediately or how many of you get this? I know those of you who know the Lord, you guys will know what I'm talking about here. How many of you just going through your day? Maybe you're just doing whatever you're doing. You're not even necessarily thinking about the Lord. And it seems like out of nowhere, all of a sudden, you just feel the presence come and give you a lift. How many of you have had that happen? That happens a lot. Like I'm just going along, doing my thing, and all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, I feel this presence. And I'm just caught up in worship. I mean, I'm like, where did that come from? You know, I'm just like, he's good, so he just likes to do things. But what if that's the answer to something that I prayed earlier, or the answer to, I was praying in the Spirit earlier that morning or earlier that day, and who knows what I was praying. Maybe the Holy Spirit was praying through me, and he's like, tomorrow at 3:32 p.m., there's commission an angel right now to just come to Jeff and just give him some revelation of the beauty of Jesus that will lift his spirits. He's going to need faith at 3:32 p.m. tomorrow. And all of a sudden it comes. I'm like, woohoo, where did that come from? You know, who knows? I don't even understand the dynamics of all that works. There's a mystery to it, but I do know what the Bible says. If I pray in tongues, I will be personally strengthened. Therefore, I will pray in tongues. And that's exactly what Paul goes on to say in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I would like everyone, everybody say everyone. He says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues And then he says in verse 18 of the same chapter, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Now, he wasn't making this statement like I'm more spiritual than any one of you. If you read the context, that's not what he's saying. But the point is that Paul's like, I love the gift of praying in tongues and I do it all the time. And I want every one of you to do it all the time. In fact, he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. And then in Jude 1, verse 20, Jude writes, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. And then he tells them how to do it. And pray in the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Paul said. You're going to be strengthened, built up, edified personally. And then Jude says, yeah, hey, build yourself up in your faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And it is strengthened. It will personally strengthen you and build up your faith. You guys, this is what the Bible talks about, what the gift of tongues does for you. Yeah? And here's what I think. I think sometimes where we get tripped up is that we get so focused on looking for the emotional experience of the gift that if we don't sense an immediate emotional exhilaration, we don't use the gift. But all the gifts work by faith. All the gifts, including the gift of tongues, they all work by faith. You know, how many of you know we the gift of healing? You know, sometimes you're praying and you feel the faith. You're like, this person is getting healed. There's other times I'm praying for healing. I don't feel anything. But he told me these signs will follow those who believe. Same passage, Mark 16. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So what do? I just pray by faith. I put my hand on the sick. I bless you to recover in the name of Jesus. And I feel nothing. But there's times that God does it anyway. And I'm like, that's cool. If I only operated in the gift of healing or the gift of sharing the gospel or the gift of making a disciple or the gift of giving, if I only operated in any of the spiritual gifts when I felt the emotional exhilaration, how many of you know you would not operate in spiritual gifts that often? But we operate in all of them, including the gift of tongues, by faith. As we know, the scripture says, pray in tongues. These signs will follow those beliefs. So we do it by faith, knowing that we're being personally strengthened. We're speaking real words, having real conversation directly with God, etc. And it's building up our most whole of faith. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14, 14 through 15. He says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. And I think this is another reason sometimes that maybe people don't underutilize the gift of praying in tongues. It's because sometimes, you know, it's like, hey, I have this amount of time to pray. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to spend like half my time praying in tongues, and I don't even know if that's really working. So I have all these requests. So I'm going to make pray this. And but Paul says here, he says, you're really praying. You're really worshiping. Sometimes you're worshiping. Sometimes your prayer is, you're just giving glory to God. You're declaring your heart's cry to the Lord. Other times, your intercession and intercessory prayers or petition prayers. You know, but God, you're actually praying when you pray in tongues. It's real prayers. So he says, but I don't understand what, I know I'm praying, I just don't understand what I'm saying. He says, well then, what shall I do? What's the conclusion? This is what he says. I will pray in the Spirit. Everybody say, I will pray in the Spirit. Now notice there was an act of his will. He says, I will do this. I will pray in the Spirit. And he also says, and I will also pray in words I understand. So Hebrew or Greek, you know, the languages that he actually spoke, his native language. He says, I'm going to pray in languages I understand, but I'm also going to pray in the Spirit in other tongues. And then he says this, I will sing in the Spirit. How many of you like to sing in tongues? Yeah, I love singing in tongues. Have you ever been in a room where the whole room just begins to sing in other tongues? I'm telling you, it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever hear. It's like angels singing in the room. That's what it's like. It's so beautiful, and you just feel this lift in the whole room, this lift of the Spirit come. when singing in other tongues. But Paul says, and I'll also sing in words that I understand, like we did this morning. I would guess this. I've never done a scientific actual study of this, and I never will, because it would distract me. But my estimation, I would get. I pray a lot. I mean, pretty much almost constantly. It feels like. I'm sure there's times when I'm not in a prayer mode, but it feels like pretty much every day, most of my day, I'm in conscious conversation with the Holy Spirit, much of the time. And I would estimate that at all the time I pray, I would estimate probably half of that or more, I'm praying in tongues or worshiping. And I do the intercessory prayer, I do the petitionary prayers, but I'd say the majority of the time I'm just fellowshipping with the Spirit by praying in tongues and worshiping. I'm so thankful for this gift. I want to read to you some testimonies, okay? And this is, I'm going to finish up with some stories, and then we're going to pray together. And my goal this morning is I want us to reconnect with the value of this gift. And not underutilize it, amen? But to utilize the gift of tongues. So, how many of you have ever read the book Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pollinger? Super good book. I tell you, you read this book, you'll be praying in tongues by the time it's over. I'm serious. This is like, it is stir you up. So Jackie Pollinger, she's a single woman from England. She's from England. She's a proper woman. From England. My kids say I don't do a good English accent. It's medium. It's yeah. Yeah. If I could pick one accent in the whole world, I'd speak the English accent. I love the English accent. It's so cool. I think people would listen more if I preached in it. If I could preach with an English accent. Jewish? That's right. But no, none of the Gentiles I talked to would understand unless there was an interpretation. Anyway, so Jackie Pollinger, a single woman from England, and she's called to be a missionary, and she's like, God, you're telling, he keeps saying, go. And she's like, where do you want me to go? And he won't tell her. But she's like, where do you want me to go? He won't tell her. Then she's like, he keeps saying, go. She's like, where do you want me to go? And so finally, she was like, I'm willing to go, but none of the missionary societies that, this is back in the 50s, 1950s, none of the missionary societies will take me because I'm this young, unproven, have no experience, no background, single woman. And they won't take me on. And so I don't know where to go. I have no backing. I have no support, like where to go. And he just says, go. So she's like, I don't know where to go. And she's talking to a priest, a vicar in the Anglican church. And she just says, well, I'm just going to help you and work for you. And he goes, oh, why? And she goes, well, I'm called to be a missionary. God keeps telling me to go, but he won't tell me where to go to. So I'm just going to stay here and help you. And he looks at her and he goes, no, that won't do. You need to go. He told you to go. She's like, we're at a stalemate. Me and God, we're at a stalemate. He won't tell me where. He's like, here's what I would do. He goes, I would go purchase a ticket, passage on board a ship that traveled around the world to as many stops as possible. Get a ticket on the passage on board the ship that has the most stops. And then just go on the trip. Go. So you're obeying the go. Just go and ask the Holy Spirit where to get off. And she goes, I don't know, because there was this religious spirit she was dealing with. She's like, that sounds like cheating, because that sounds fun to me. That sounds like fun. Would God do that? Because that sounds like an adventure. Doesn't it have to be like something that's not fun, like sacrifice and all that? He's like, no, it's actually quite biblical. He says, God told Abraham to go, but didn't tell him where. So Abraham just went by faith until God told him where to go to. And she's like, oh, I'm doing it. So she did it. She goes until she gets to the very last stop, and it was Hong Kong. And God, she felt like she was supposed to get off at Hong Kong, so she did. She ends up going into this area of Hong Kong, very small area, just a few acres, called the Walled City. It was basically run by the mafia and the gangs that are called triads. And there's just drug dens, prostitution, brothels, pornographic theaters. I mean, it's this little section of the town. Even the police don't stay away from it and try not to go into it because it's just super, super dangerous. She ends up there, and there's all these drug addicts, all these people who basically have no hope whatsoever except to end up in prostitution or being a pimp or being a drug dealer or likely, even if you're all those things, being a drug addict and then dying from it. I mean, that's just the way it is there. And she's trying to reach them for Jesus, but she's seeing nothing happen. Nothing. For a long time. She's going there and she's serving them. She's sharing the gospel, but she's just not connecting with them. No one's getting saved. And she's not seeing any breakthrough at all. And she's feeling frustrated. And then finally she was just like, man, when I read the Bible, I want to do it like you do it, God. Like, you just walked, Jesus, and there was power in your ministry. And you just delivered the people from their bondages. And you healed the sick. And your power came when you spoke the word. And people believed. I'm like, I want to walk in the power of the Spirit like you did. So finally she ends up people praying with her. And she receives the gift of tongues. And she starts praying in tongues. And she knew it was the Holy Spirit. But she felt zero emotional exhilaration. Like nothing. She felt absolutely nothing. But she knew the gift of tongues was from the Lord. And so she was like, I don't know. I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't feel anything. She goes, I'm so disappointed. She goes, every time I hear other people testify about when they speak in tongues, they talk about this euphoric, emotional, awesome, heavenly experience. And I'm like, I wanted that. I was looking forward to that, but I didn't get that. I just pray in this language. I don't even know what it does. And she's like, ah. And so she, for a year, she didn't even pray in tongues anymore. So finally, she meets these new people, missionaries from America, who pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to read to you her words. She says, it was 2 years since I had left England and a year since I had supposedly received the gift of the Spirit. I felt that I was quite an authority on prayer meetings in the colony, but my clarinet pupil's mother, Claire Harding, urged me to go to the meeting, saying that it would be charismatic. This new term described a meeting where they expected the various gifts of the Spirit, charisma, to be manifested. Well, I'll just go for a few weeks until I've learned all about it. Then I'll go back to the other meetings, I told Claire. And so I was introduced to Rick and Jean Stone Willans. Do you pray in tongues, Jackie? I was shocked by Jean's American forthrightness. You know, she's proper English. She goes, no English person would be that direct. Well, no, actually, I replied. I haven't found it that... I need to practice, okay? I haven't found it that useful. I don't get anything out of it, so I've stopped. It was a relief to discuss it with someone. But Jean would not be sympathetic. That's very rude of you, she said. It's not a gift of emotion. It's a gift of the Spirit. You shouldn't despise the gifts God has given you. The Bible says that he who prays in tongues will be built up spiritually. So never mind what you feel, do it. Then she and Rick made me promise to pray daily in my heavenly language. They insisted that the Holy Spirit was given in power to the early church to make them effective witnesses to the risen Christ. Then, to my horror, they suggested that we pray together in tongues. I was not sure if this was all right, since the Bible said that people should not all speak aloud in tongues at the same time. They explained that St. Paul was referring to a public meeting where an outsider coming in would think everyone was crazy. We three would not be offending anyone and would be praying to God in the languages he gave us. I could not get out of it. We prayed and I felt silly saying words I did not understand. I felt hot. And then to my consternation, they stopped praying while I felt impelled to continue. I knew already that, so she's praying in tongues, like embarrassed. She's like not enjoying this at all. I knew already that this gift, although holy, was under my control. I could stop or start at will. I would have done anything not to be praying out loud in a strange language in front of strange Americans. But just as I thought I would die of self-consciousness, God said to me, are you willing to be a fool for my sake? I gave in. All right, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me, but since you invented it, it must be a good gift. So I'll go ahead in obedience, and you teach me how to pray. After we finished praying, Jean said she understood what I had said. God had given her the interpretation. She translated, it was beautiful. My heart was yearning for the Lord and calling as from the depths of a valley stream to the mountaintops for him. I loved him and worshiped him and longed for him to use me. It was a language so much more explicit and glorious than any I could have formulated. I decided that if God helped me to pray like that when I was praying in tongues, I would never despise this gift again. I accepted that he was helping me to pray perfectly. Every day, as I had promised the Willanses, I prayed in the language of the Spirit 15 minutes by the clock. I felt it to be an exercise. Before praying in the Spirit, I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray or whom to pray for. Will you pray through me? And will you lead me to the people who want you? And I would begin my 15-minute stint. After about 6 weeks, I noticed something remarkable. Those I talked to about Christ believed. I could not understand it at first and wondered how my Chinese friends had so suddenly improved, or if I had stumbled on a splendid new evangelistic technique, but I was saying the same things as before. It was some time before I realized what had changed. This time, I was talking about Jesus to people who wanted to hear. I had let God have a hand in my prayers, and it produced a direct result. Instead of my deciding what I wanted to do for God and asking his blessing, I was asking him to do his will through me as I prayed in this language he gave me. Now I found that person after person wanted to receive Jesus. I could not be proud. I could only wonder that God let me be a small part of his work. And so the emotion came. I love this. It never came while I prayed, but when I saw the results of these prayers, I was literally delighted. Now just think of, you know, praying in tongues, and then all of a sudden you're like, huh, this doesn't seem to be working. And then you crest the hill and you see the enemy army slaughtered in front of you. And her, she's praying for 6 weeks, whatever, I'm doing this by faith. She literally set the timer for 15 minutes. There, done for the day, I did it. And then all of a sudden 6 weeks later, now it's working. Not that day, but 6 weeks later, it's working. I love this story because it focuses not just on the emotion that comes, but operating in the gift of praying in tongues, like every other spiritual gift, we do it by faith, right? By faith that it's going to do what God's word says it's going to do. For us to glorify God, here's one of the things I like to do. I will often do this during my set time that I pray in the mornings usually. A lot of times, the way I like to just start is I'll set my timer. And I'm like, I'm just going to pray in tongues. And sometimes I'll set it for 5 minutes. Sometimes I'll set it for 15. Sometimes I'll set it for 20 minutes. And I'm just like, I'm just going to pray in tongues for 20 minutes. And I'll do it. And sometimes I feel absolutely nothing. But while I'm praying in tongues, and sometimes I do feel stuff. That's my favorite. I prefer to feel. But I know it works anyway. And I'll actually, in my mind, because you can pray in tongues without even thinking about what you're saying. And I'll be praying in tongues. And in my mind, I'll be thinking about this. In my mind, I'll be talking to the Lord saying, thank you, God. Thank you that right now I'm not speaking gibberish. I'm not just making up random syllables. I thank you that right now I'm speaking actual words. And I thank you that I'm being personally strengthened right now by the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful praise that you're receiving right now as I'm praying in tongues. I thank you, God, for all the awesome things that you're going to do and in people's lives and the people that are going to be blessed and the way I'm going to be blessed because of the prayers, whatever they are, that are being prayed by me right now as I pray in tongues. And I thank you for all the glory you're going to receive because of these awesome things you're going to do in answer to these prayers. I thank you, Lord, and I just feel my faith being built up. And I love praying in tongues. And you know what I notice about it? I notice it's kind of like once you get the motor revved up, praying in tongues helps me to keep it purring, if that makes sense. It's like a lot of times I'll do that. I'll pray in tongues. I feel nothing at first. But then later in the day, I catch myself, whatever I'm doing, just quietly under my breath, just praying in tongues. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm praying in tongues right now. And then I start feeling that just that constant, steady presence of the Lord. Maybe not super strong, sometimes stronger than others, but I'm telling you, this gift, we need to practice it by faith. I think, honestly, I think we would see way more and experience way more from God if we, by faith, believe what the scriptures say about this gift, value it as much as he does, and use it. Amen? Use it. Don't underutilize it. You know, praying in tongues is not like, check, I did that, I put the trophy on my mantle, and when somebody asks me the question, I'm like, yeah, I've prayed in tongues before. It's like, okay, but it's to be used, like every day, constantly. It's a powerful, powerful gift. Story goes on. This gift became a profound thing. She's ministering to drug addicts. She ends up leading them to the Lord. And it was a normal thing. The drug addicts would come, and immediately, every single time, she would lead them to Jesus. They know almost nothing except just enough to get saved. And sometimes it's like they kind of believe, but not even totally. And I mean, in the sense they're like, well, okay, you say Jesus is God? Sure. She's like, do you believe that? They're like, sure. Yeah. And she was like, I don't even know for sure if they totally believed it, but they just said yes. They're like, I'm willing to go with you on this thing. I'll try this out. And they were drug addicts, so, because they were desperate. They're like, nothing else works. I need to try this and see if it works. It was that kind of thing. Then she says, okay, now the Holy Spirit's going to give you a language to pray in, because he's going to help. You're going to need it. It's going to help you to pray. And so right then, immediately, she would have them start praying in tongues. And a lot of times, sometimes they'd feel something. A lot of times they'd feel nothing right then. But then they were addicted to drugs, the opium, the heroin. And this drug was so intense that actually when people would try to come off of it without medication, a lot of times the pain from withdrawals was so intense they would actually lose their mind and sometimes die from it. It was just so bad. It was so everybody was terrified of trying to come off. You know, they were stuck. They wanted to come off. They were trapped, but they're like, man, even those who did go through the 5-6 days of the withdrawal pains and made it out and the physical addiction was broken, inevitably they'd always go back to the drug because the emotional and the mental and the spiritual addiction wasn't broken. And they'd end up going back to it and the physical addiction would kick in again. Does that make sense? But she found this 100% of the time, those who began praying in other tongues, they would experience pain-free withdrawals by praying in tongues. And when the withdrawals would kick in, you know, they would sit there because they'd come into the home. Two or three believers would be with them 24 hours a day. They would take shifts, and they would sit with them during that withdrawal period. And they'd feel no pain, and they'd just pray over them, praying in tongues. And then when that person would feel the slightest twinge of pain from withdrawal, they'd encourage them, start praying in tongues right now. Start praying in tongues. And they'd start praying in tongues, and the pain would leave. And then sometimes, after a while, it would come back, and they'd start praying in tongues, and it would leave again. Every time, 100% of the time, pain-free withdrawals through praying in other tongues. And then the word began to spread, and revival happened. I mean, big time. Revival began to happen, and actually, the walled city, that sin-infested area of town, eventually was completely gone and removed. And one of the reasons was so many of the gang members got saved and delivered from drugs that a lot of the stuff just started shutting down and delivered from the prostitution, etc. And so because they would hear it, and they had like no hope, but then they'd hear their friend would come to them, and they'd always be skinny and, you know, that needing the next fix. And they live for the next fix. They'd like, okay, how am I going to go steal money so I can get my next fix quick? And they'd see their friend, and they'd be like in their right mind, and they have this radiance, this joy on their face. They're like, what happened to you? They'd be like, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus saved me, and he set me free from drugs. And when I pray in the language that he gave me, I felt no pain at all, and I'm totally free from drugs. And they knew it because they could see it. They're like, I knew you. Like, I know who you are. This is what is going on. Then they'd come to Jackie, and they'd be like, I want what he has. She'd be like, well, you share the gospel. You got to believe in Jesus. Are you willing to believe in Jesus? They're like, sure. It worked for him. Why not? Let's try it out. She'd be like, that's good enough. And she'd pray with them. I believe in you, Jesus. Okay, now he's going to give you the language. They'd pray in tongues, and time after time after time after time after time. Listen, not just 10, not just like 30, not just like 70 or 80, not even just 100. I mean, way more than that. It was big time move of God ended up happening. Listen, the gift of praying in tongues. All of these new believers, zero background in Christianity, no understanding of the Bible whatsoever except the little that they knew, yet they'd meet together. They had the gift of tongues, and they'd walk in spiritual gifts together. They'd start singing in the Spirit together, and then somebody would prophesy, and one of the former drug addicts would get a word of knowledge, and it would just be this miraculous gift. They'd get the message of tongues, and another would get the interpretation, and they would just practice spiritual gifts in such a profound way. That gift of speaking in tongues is a big deal. I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to pray. In our society, oftentimes, especially in the Christian world, to be honest with you, there's a stigma. There's a stigma about the gift of praying in tongues. A lot of Christians look down on others, or they don't like that gift, and they look down on that gift because they don't understand it. Just like me, they grew up in a background that they were taught it's of the devil, or they were taught that's all flesh. Or they are taught, that's dumb, it's, you know, whatever. There's a stigma attached to it. And I get that because I was that way. I told you my story, right? But here's the deal. I want to challenge you with this. I want to encourage you, never be ashamed of the Holy Spirit and the gifts he gives you. I'm not ashamed of the gift of tongues. I don't care who I'm with. I could be in a circle of believers. None of them like the gift. I am who I am, and I would not be who I am without this gift. I'm happy about this gift. I'm thankful for it. I'm not in your face about it in the sense of, I don't think I'm better than you at all. But imagine if you gave a thought through this really super special gift for someone that you love dearly and gave it to them, and they despised your gift, and they were ashamed of it. How would that make you feel? Or they're like, oh, thanks. What am I going to do with this? Set it on the shelf, and they're ashamed of it. How'd that make you feel? You know what? Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit has emotions. He has personality. You know, in that sense, he's a person. He's with me at all times. I want to be like, man, this gift was important for you to give to me. It's important for me to receive. Thank you for this gift. I don't want to be ashamed of God. I don't want to be ashamed of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to be proud of him. You know, I remember a story. I heard this when I was young in a youth group. And I think it was in South America. There was a church where terrorist-type people broke into a church meeting where church people were gathered and threatened to kill them all if they didn't deny Jesus. This is a true story as I heard it. And they had a picture of Jesus, you know, in the church. And one by one, these terrorists lined them up in front of the picture, the believers. And they said, we're going to kill you unless you walk up to the picture of Jesus. You have to spit on his face and deny him and leave, and we'll let you live. So in fear, one by one, the believers walked up to the picture. They spit on it. They said, I denied you, Jesus, and they walked out. Yeah, that hurts to think about, actually. And then one of the last ones was a little girl, actually, who believed in Jesus. And she walked up to the picture, and she, with her arms, she wiped the spit off of his face. And she looked at the picture and she says, Jesus, I love you. I will never deny you. And actually, the terrorists, as the story goes, were so moved in their heart by this, they actually let her go. They let the little girl go. But I think about when I'm in situations when I can be ashamed of Jesus, or I can say, you know what? Even though there's a stigma and people may look down on me or they may think I'm foolish, or I may look silly and lose my dignity. That's good for me anyway. I want to be the one who says, I'm not ashamed of you, Jesus. I love you. You know, I'm married to my wife. What if I loved her in private, but in public, I was like ashamed to show affection? I'm ashamed to be associated with her. Or when she does the stuff that she does, I just kind of distance myself. And I'm like, I'm not really, I mean, yes, technically I am married to her, but you know, what she does with that, you know, is her thing. I don't really have anything to do with that. I mean, how do you think that would make her feel? So I think about Jesus, who we're in covenant relationship with, and he gives us a gift. I don't want to be like, yes, I mean, we are in covenant relationship, but this stuff that he does over here, I don't know. You know, I'm not really part of that. Listen, if he's doing it, I want to be part of it. I don't care what it is. I may have experienced it before or not, but if it's him and he's doing it, I'm like, hey, let me in. If it's you, even if I don't understand it, everything you do is beautiful. You are altogether lovely. And so are all his gifts, including the gift of tongues. Amen? So I'm going to have you stand with me right now. We're going to pray in tongues together. I want to do this as a practice exercise. I bless you. I hope you get to feel good emotions right now. But if you don't, you don't. I want you to pray in tongues by faith. Don't focus on the emotions. Unless they happen and you're really enjoying it, then you can focus on it and enjoy it. But if it's not, don't let it throw your faith. You know, this is interesting. I heard somebody say this about tongues. A lot of times we think how to pray in tongues. It's like we think that I can't pray in tongues. It's like unless the Holy Spirit sovereignly takes over control of my body, I lose control and he starts forcing me. And I'm like, whoa, what's happening? And he prays in tongues through me. Actually, that does happen. That really does happen. I've heard lots of testimonies like that. But you know what? The majority of the time, that's not how it works. And because this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, just like all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's say the gift of giving. The gift of giving, it's like the Holy Spirit doesn't take over your body. It's like, what's happening? I don't know. My hand's going to, whoa, it's grabbing my wallet. I don't know. I have no control. God, have your way. Oh, no, not that, Bill. That's the big one. Lord, no. Why am I doing? Why am I giving it over here? I don't know what's happening. Well, I guess I have the gift of giving. Like, we don't do that with the other gifts. You know what I mean? We don't do that with the other givings. We operate in the gifts by faith with a willing partnership. And a lot of times, even worship. You know, we don't pray just when we feel it. When we pray, it's not like God's taking over. How many of you come into a time of worship like this morning? And at first, the Bible says, praise the Lord. Amen? So at first, you may feel nothing, and you just put your hands up in the air, and you sing to the Lord. You start speaking praises to God because the Bible says to do it. Amen? It's an act of your will. And at first, you may feel like, feels like this is 90% me, 10% Holy Spirit right now. But as you engage by faith, and the worship goes on, about 20, 30 minutes later, all of a sudden you're in a flow of the Spirit, and you're like, okay, it feels like it's about 90% Holy Spirit, 10% me now. You guys with me? And we understand this with so many of the other spiritual gifts, but then some reason when it comes to praying in tongues, you know, we make it like it's different. It's just a spiritual gift like all the other spiritual gifts. When you prophesy, God doesn't hijack your mouth and you're like, what am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying right now. I've heard of that kind of thing happening. But honestly, that's mostly not how the gift of prophecy works. It's like you get these subtle impressions. You're like, is this God or is this me? And then we prophesy in part, like we're prophesying and even a prophetic message. You know, some of it could be like, I got this picture and here's what I think it means. And sometimes it's like, you know, 80% Holy Spirit, 20% of it was mine. You have to discern, which is, you guys with me? But there's this willful cooperation with the Spirit. And it's the same way with the gift of tongues. So I just want you by faith right now, all of us out loud. You don't have to yell. I don't care if you do. But you don't have to. It doesn't have to be this crazy thing. It can just be simple. It can be just quiet under your breath. You know, you're kind of just quietly. A lot of times I'm praying in tongues and people can't hear me. Other times I'm praying in tongues thinking people can't hear me, and my wife says they can. But I actually don't usually care. If that's happening, I'm usually enjoying myself. I'm like, that'll be all right. I like this. Okay, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to set my timer for 1 minute, and let's just pray in tongues together for a minute. Then we'll stop. Then I'm going to set it for 3 minutes, and we'll pray in tongues together for 3 minutes, and then we'll stop. And then I'm going to encourage you to go home and do this every single day for however long you choose to do it, and just start utilizing the gift, okay? So let's just start praying in tongues. Ready, set, go. Komaria tereke vesha taramasa. Haria la 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 Kusama la ni na 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 ma la li 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 na 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 ma si ta la 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 ma na 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 ma na ni ni. Ko ba la la ba ka ta he a ta to ve ya ha shi me be ni ya. Ko na 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 ma 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 na na ni ni. Sa la 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 li 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 ni na 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 ma na 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 na. Ko ri a ye ta la ba ba to ru no mo si ya. Ma se ri a ta la li li men. Havaria tareri robunda haria lelene dareri lelelelele mama baba lelelele baba 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 tareri la 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 la. Okay, stop. I get it right away. This is cool. This happens sometimes too. As soon as I started speaking in the spirit, a song came into my spirit. That line that goes, "You are beautiful in all your ways." Like, and I felt that lift and that worship rise in my spirit as soon as I started praying. I haven't listened to that song in a long time, but it just suddenly comes into my spirit when I start praying in tongues. Worship arises. It's natural. So we're going to set the timer for 3 minutes now. The reason I'm doing it this way is because I just want you to know that you can do this at home. You don't have to work yourself into this emotional, ecstatic frenzy to do it. Because if we have to work ourselves up into that kind of thing, we'll hardly ever do it. But if we know, like, I can just do it. It's simple. I can start. I can stop at will most of the time. Okay? It really can. And so that's why I'm doing it this way, because I want us to be able to practice this every single day. So I'm going to set a timer. Let's start praying in tongues. Ready, go. Shabbat atanama. Kuma andale helele ya toro kubo siya. Thank you. Amen. So here's the deal. A lot of times this happens to me. I'll set my timer type deal. And a lot of times, though, by the time my timer rings, I just keep going. Because by then, I'm like, ooh, I'm starting to get into a flow of the Spirit here. I'm like, now I'm starting to get into a flow. I want to stay in this flow a little bit and see how deep it gets. And I love to do that. How many of you know that there is we have to learn, there's a flow in our communion with the Holy Spirit. There's a flow that we have to learn how to flow with the currents and the winds of the Holy Spirit. We have to learn that. One of the best ways to tune in and learn how to flow in the currents of the Spirit is praying in tongues. Really, really true. It's just praying in tongues. And what I love about this gift is it's so simple. You can do it anywhere at any time. You don't have to be shut in a room in a perfect. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it while you're working. You can do it while you're goofing off and playing. I love this gift. It's so valuable. So I want to encourage you to make this a practice. I want to encourage you to do that. Just say, you know what? I'm going to go after this in my life. I'm going to go after this. And many of you already are. I'm going to go after this in a deeper way. I think there's more to the gift of tongues than we've tapped into. And so I just think, let's go for it. As a church family, let's go after it. And so I encourage you to just make it a goal. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 minutes. You do it with the Lord. While I'm driving to work, you can do it any way you want to. Say, every day, I'm going to purposely pray in tongues. Amen?
I know we're going to close out here, but I was, a number of years ago, I was just going through I got emotional. And I'm a fairly steady girl. I'm not super, I don't really deal with a ton of hormonal like this. Okay. But I was just finding that, I was just feeling that that swing of emotions and just really my emotions kind of ruling my life in a way that was just, and it was unhealthy. And I was asking the Lord, I was like, God, you got to help me. I know I'm supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. You know, I don't know what's really going on here. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I want to be steady. One of the dreams of my life is to have rock emotions. You know, I just want to be everything I think on the word, not just whatever happened that day. And so I was asking the Lord, what should I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to get steady? And I felt like the Lord said, remember, he who prays in other tongues edifies his own spirit. Autumn, you're not utilizing this gift. And you're going to get steady through praying in the Spirit. And so I was like, okay, I never considered that to be something that was going to even me out emotionally, you know? And so I said, by faith, I'm going to do this. And for 2 weeks, I set a timer. I did I'm going to pray in the Spirit for 10 minutes a day, believing that that's going to edify my spirit like the Word of God says. I'm not kidding. Within three days, I felt this steadiness come on and the roller coaster of emotions that I was just going through according to what I was thinking that day, feeling that day, the circumstances, it just all of a sudden became, whew. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I just released that because I think every one of us goes through times where we feel that. And I feel like that was a secret from the Lord. I mean, it's just exactly what his word says. But, you know, if you go through a time season like that, don't forget to utilize the gift he gave us to help edify your own spirit and build it up. Yep, I'll just bless you. Lord, thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our congregation. Thank you that, God, you give us really good and great gifts. Father, we just love them all. We want them all. And we want to understand them all. And Lord, we just say, we really know. We just scraped the surface in our understanding. So Lord, we just say, God, take us deep in the things of the Lord. Make us steady in your presence. And Father, we ask that you would bless, God, I just bless every person in this room this week to encounter you deeply, to know you deeply, Lord, and to be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, guys.